Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and he will give you the crown of life. And I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Amen. Okay, so this is the church in Smyrna, and this is probably, I think, recorded about 30 miles outside of Ephesus. And just to give you an idea, Ephesus is actually the first major city closest to Patmos, right? And that's where the Apostle John would have been when he had received this revelation. And so he's in Smyrna, and Smyrna was a very rich, beautiful commercial city, probably like Hong Kong. You know, a lot of commerce was going through, a lot of things were happening, so it was a business hub. You know, a lot of goods were passing through Smyrna, and Jesus makes, well, let me see how I want to start. Okay, let's start with this. So he says here, right, in verse 9, he says, "I know your tribulation, right, and the blasphemy, or and your poverty, but you're rich." Now this poverty, remember, you're in a very rich commercial city. The poverty was mentioned here doesn't mean that they were poor. It was poverty that was brought on by losing their means of livelihood because they followed Christ, right? And so you have this church, members that probably were very prosperous, you know, members that were very successful in their work, in the marketplace and whatnot. But because they made a decision, a commitment to follow Jesus, they lost whatever means of livelihood they had. You know, maybe they owned some kind of shop, and because they followed Christ, no longer people would come and visit the shop, you know, or I mean, something like that. Whatever it means that they lost their form of livelihood, which really brings out the point even more because it's such a business commerce city, you know, and they really sacrificed something. You know, these guys following Jesus, it really cost them something, and now it's led to their poverty. And so Jesus is you know, first of all, encouraging them. The word that's also used, the word tribulation, you know, and we'll see this word played out a lot in the book of Revelation. But this word tribulation, the picture is like a huge rock that's just crushing something underneath. That's the word picture of tribulation. In other words, it's this constant, intense pressure. You know, and he says, and look what Jesus said. Jesus says, "I know your tribulation." Right? And so, and this knowing is not just, you know, like, yeah, I heard about it. You know, Jesus is saying, look, I personally, intimately know what this tribulation is like. How does he know? Read the verse just before. Now, in different messages, you'll have different parts of the Godhead that will be addressing. You know, like in Revelation, it says he holds the 7 stars in his hands. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God the Father. Now, in this particular passage in Smyrna, he's actually referring to himself, and he says, right. And so you have to remember in the context of encouragement, right? Encouraging a group of people that are in constant, intense pressure, that has lost their means of livelihood. And this is what he says. He says, "I am the first and the last." In other words, he's making a nod to the eternal. That's who he is. I am the Alpha and I am the first and the last. So he's talking about his eternal nature, his eternal spirit. And then he comes and he says, "And I was dead and I'm alive again." Right? Which is referring to his humanity, right? This is because no one else in the Bible was dead and is alive again, right? Except Jesus Christ. You know, I'm in terms of talking about the Godhead. It wasn't the Father, it wasn't the Spirit, it was the Son. And so he's encouraging them. He says, "I know your tribulation. Look, this is how I know. See, I have an eternal side," and he will He will give a nod to the eternal side by saying, you guys, be faithful, keep at it, because this is not the last life. In other words, there's a second death that he'll talk about later. And so, you know, there is an eternal side, you know, and if you're faithful, you know, you'll be blessed, you know, in eternity. But he also makes a nod to the natural, right? And he's saying, look, I was dead. They hung me on a cross. You know, I was crucified, I was beaten, you know, I was spit upon, I was whipped, I was all these things, but I am alive again, right? And so it's this both, right? And when he encourages them to overcome, he encourages them on two different levels. He encourages them on the eternal side and say, hey, it's okay to suffer now, it's okay to go to hardship because there's an eternal glory waiting for you. And then on the physical side, he's saying, yeah, you can overcome because I overcame. I was dead, I was beaten, but I'm now alive again, right? So he's talking about resurrection power, right, in the eternal, but also in the physical, right, that was able to happen here, even in the midst of a huge rock crushing whatever lies beneath it, right? Even though you may have lost your livelihood, you continue on. You know, and he says, you know, okay, so you're poor, but he says, no, you are rich, right? You are rich, you know, and this is the key, friends, right? If as a people of God, if we understood, you know, but if we actually begin to grasp, right, the benefits of going through tribulation, right? You know, if we, you know, instead of saying, God, why me? You know, God, you know, da, 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 you know, how can you do this to me? Blah, blah, blah. And of course, you'll go through that period of doing that, right? And in essence, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, as long as you take care of business with God. But in the midst of that, when we begin to recognize, right, that tribulation, that suffering, actually plays a role in the Christian life. You know, and I'm not saying that God brings tribulation and suffering. He does it to teach us a lesson, because that would not be a loving God, right? But we live in such a world where it's fallen, right? And tribulation and suffering is a part of this fallen world because there's sin in this world, right? And sometimes how those things are worked out, they actually play out to our benefit. You know, I can you know, remember times in my life where I had those moments of, God, how can you do this to me? And then when I came to peace with it and recognizing, is there something that I can benefit from this? You know, I mean, there's something about, like, you know, bad things happen. Sometimes those bad things can turn into good things if we learn something through it, if we're changed and transformed through it in some way, right? That's where, you know, Paul will talk in Romans chapter 8, you know, God causes all things to work for good to those who love him or are called according to his purpose. Now, God doesn't just cause all things to work for good. But people mistranslate this passage all the time. He does it when we're called to his purposes, right? And when we love him, right? I'm not saying that the scripture is conditional, but there's something about that, right? And so he's making a nod to that, and he says, look, you may have lost your livelihood, you know, and whatever the world says may be what rich and wealthy is, but he says, no, you are rich. Right. In other words, he's making a nod to the spiritual. Right. You have something, you know, that's forged in the fire of tribulation that doesn't come anywhere else. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had something there. Right. And it was forged in the fire of the furnace. You couldn't find that anywhere else. Right. And, you know, and one of the things in the scriptures, there's a motif of the desert. Right. You know, and, you know, we always see men and women of God going in the desert. And you always hear people in the church, oh, I'm in the desert right now, and da, da, da. I tell you, the desert is beautiful. You're going to get out of the desert someday, you know. But if you've ever been in Israel and looked out at the vast desert and the barrenness out there, you know, the word actually in Hebrew that's translated desert actually means he speaks. That's the exact translation, right? God speaks in the desert. You know, and a part of that, you know, in the desert is the only place where some of the most beautiful flowers are birthed. You think, oh, in this dry and barren land, and God brings forth just beautiful, beautiful, vibrant flowers. And that's what happens in the desert. And there's just something about tribulation, right? You're wealthy if you learn, Right? If you can grab a hold of whatever tribulation, whatever it has, whatever has befallen us, right, and grow from it and ask and have the Lord bring resurrection power into the situation. And so he says, you guys are rich, you know, and there's a blasphemy going on, you know, and by those who say they're Jews and are not, but are sitting on Satan. Now, this is not meant to say that there are a group of people that Romans have said, hey, I'm a Jewish, you know, that's not what he's saying. Jesus is making a nod to what he talked about back in Matthew, you know, and he turned to the Pharisees and says, you are whitewashed walls, you know, you guys, you know, and then he'll later talk about the true circumcision, the true resurrection and whatnot, you know, and this is meant to say that, you know, that there are people that will talk like they're believers, you know, just like the Jews, you know, that looked the part, but they really weren't, right? As Jesus would turn to the Pharisees and says, you are the father of the devil. You know, this is what's meant by the synagogue of Satan, right? This is, you know, in other words, they're false. They're not the true faith, you know, and you know, he's because in this intense time of persecution, there are going to be many that, you know, basically lose sight of their convictions, you know, for whatnot, you know, that will recant their faith, you know, or, you know, recant their faith to the Romans, but to the Christians, you know, oh, yeah, you know, blah, blah, whatever. You know, and he says, no, it's just like what we see played out, you know, before. Right? This is how it happens. And he says, you know, the word, the message is, look, do not fear. This is the central message here in the message to Smyrna. Do not fear. You are about to suffer. Right? That's the case. And the devil is actually going to throw some of you in prison, you know, and many of you will be tested. Right, and you'll have this tribulation for 10 days. Now, these 10 days, there's a couple of different ideas on this. These 10 days refer to 10 major persecutions that did hit this Roman Empire, right? And I actually finally did some research because I didn't understand the 10 days myself, right? So 10 persecutions. You don't have to write it down, but this is the rules of Nero, Domitian, Trajan, Marcus Aurelius, Severus, Maximum, Decius, Valerian, Aurelian, and Diocletian. These were 10 Roman emperors over this period of time that brought incredible persecution, you know, to the church. And so Jesus is most likely referring to, and obviously days, right, can be translated different ways, you know, and so it's referring to 10 kind of Roman eras of rule where the church would have been persecuted and thrown into prison. You know, there are stories that during this season of time that, you know, they crucified like, you know, 450 people in one afternoon, you know, I mean, just massive, you know, in essence, kind of the Holocaust in some ways, you know, that was happening, you know, through these periods. And he's saying, you guys be faithful until death. This is and this is what only Jesus can give. And he says, and I'll give you the crown of life. Be faithful until death. Right? Friends, this is the call of the church, that we're faithful unto death. Right? Whatever God calls us to. I remember years ago, the first summer I was here in Hong Kong in 1992, and we went to China to play basketball. I was there for like 8 days or so, you know, and one of the last days, actually the highlight of the whole trip for me was going to this area in Guangzhou, which was is basically, at that time, was the largest underground church. And there was a pastor, and I don't know if he's still alive, Pastor Samuel, no, it's not Samuel Lai, what's his name? It was Samuel something. And he basically was in he basically preached. He's probably a guy about this tall. I mean, as skinny as can be. His church at that time was like 1,500 members. You know, I mean, it's just this tiny, tiny little place. Billy Graham had visited his church. Jimmy Carter, you know, had visited. You know, and just really well known because he basically went to prison for the first time. He worked hard labor for like 7 years or so. He got out of prison, and they told him, "Hey, you go out, you preach the gospel, and we're gonna throw you back in." Right? The day he got out of prison, he went back into the streets and started preaching the gospel. Right? They arrested him again, and he spent another 17 years in prison, hard labor. Basically saying he moved rocks from one place to the next place and moved it back to one place. You know, I mean, just hard labor during these things. I mean, this old little man, and they finally let him, you know, the Western media got a hold of his story and whatnot, and he literally lives in a room about the size of your bathroom. You know, he has no earthly possessions, hardly. He has a radio and just a real thriving church. And I remember, you know, I spent some time talking with him. He gave me his business card, you know, and he's got his name on there. And his name is Samuel Lamb, right? And there's actually a book that was written for him called Bold as a Lamb. You know, it's worth reading. And Samuel Lamb, in this business card that he gave me, it was just, you know, just it said his name, and on the back, or actually it was the front of the card, was just big verse, and it says, "Be faithful unto death," right? And I thought, man, this is the man right here. You know, I mean, this, you know what I mean? I mean, talk about as a young believer. Remember, I just got saved about a month before, meeting a man like this. And it really marked me, you know. I really understood what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Right, that you're faithful unto death. And here's this guy that, you know, died many times over, you know, and really, he really was dead, right? It's this old idea of dead man walking, you know, and so he comes to this place and it says, "Be faithful unto death. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Right, you know, going back to a little bit about this being faithful, right? You know, it's easy to follow Jesus when things are going well, isn't it? So easy to follow Jesus, right? But when things are not going well, will we still follow him? Right, when your world is falling apart and everything is not going as you would like, you know, your relationships, your family, disease, your job situation, you know, all these things are happening. That's the test, right? Be faithful unto death. You know, and then if that happens, right, God brings resurrection power in the midst of this. So let's close our eyes. This is actually the only church that God didn't say anything bad about, or Jesus didn't say anything about. This is pretty good company to keep here in Smyrna, going through incredible persecution. So I don't know what's going on in your life right now, your situation. Difficulty or... Be faithful unto death. You know, and a lot of times, you know, I mean, we're in Hong Kong. Hong Kong being probably one of the most freest countries in terms of religion. I have more religious freedom here in Hong Kong than in the United States. And in the midst of this climate, you know, we're talking about being faithful unto death. It's not going to be such big things, you know. I mean, no one's going to ask you to spit on Jesus' picture or anything like that. But being faithful is going to be about the little things, the little choices that you make. The times when God asks you to sacrifice, and you do. Be faithful unto death. And so as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that in our hearts.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, my Lord. Every breath that I take,
every moment I'm awake,
every moment I'm awake.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way in me.
This is my desire to honor you.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
All I have,
all I have within me,
I give you praise.
I give
that I adore is in you.
All that I adore is in you.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
I live for you alone.
I live for you. Every breath that I take,
every moment I'm awake,
every moment I'm awake.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I live for you, oh God.
I live for you.
Every breath that I take,
every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you.
Every breath that I take,
every breath,
every
moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
Let's pray together, especially if you are going through a time of tribulation, of intense, constant pressure. You know, for whatever the case may be, relationally, emotionally, maybe physically, could be job-related, family-related. It doesn't really matter what the source is. Let the Holy Spirit encourage you today, knowing that God, especially Jesus, knows what you're going through right now. And He's going to give you the strength to overcome whatever that is. He says, my son, my daughter, I was dead, now I'm alive. And it may seem like you're going through a death, but you cling to Jesus and you'll be alive. He'll give you so much more that you can handle. But you got to be faithful. And so let's pray kind of two ways for our community today. One, let's pray for our friends that are going through difficulties right now. Let's pray that the presence of Jesus would come into their lives in such a stronger way. And let's pray that they would be faithful in the midst of persecution and trial and difficulty. That they would really cling to Jesus and they would grow as a result. Let's pray that for our community, for people around you. Maybe it's you. And just pray, and we'll pray for you that the presence of Jesus just comes over you like a mighty wind. And let's pray together. Let's lift up parts, people of our community that are going through difficulty, through illness. Right? Let's lift up Yuli's dad and continue to remember him. Lift up James's sister Helen. You know, they had a successful surgery, and so let's continue to pray for increased healing. Let's pray for Paul Lee's uncle as he's also trying to figure out through his health conditions. There's another brother at church who's a mom is going through cancer, and let's pray for him and that family. And let's lift up others that are sick within our community. Let's always remember Genevieve as well, and ask the Lord to heal her. You know, if you know people or whatnot, just lift them up. And in the midst of physical tribulation, let's ask for God's grace and healing word to come over our community. Let's pray. Also, John Chung's father, our missionary in China, whose dad is still not recovered from his bypass surgery. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight, for Tregunter, Causeway Bay, MacDaddy, for Kowloon, and for Robinson. Let's ask the Lord to bless our leaders, and the community would come together to fellowship, to grow, to pray, to seek God, and to prepare for our outreach. And so let's just ask the Lord to touch our meetings tonight. Let's pray for our men's retreat coming up this weekend. We now have 63 guys going, right? And so we're still trying to hit that 70 number. And so let's pray, you know, there's actually a few guys that actually canceled trips. you know, to come out. I mean, real, God's really doing something. And so let's pray for the men as we gather together, that it will just be such a moving of God's Spirit upon our lives. Let's pray that even others, right, schedules will open up and people will really decide to sacrifice and the God would just really come and meet with us in a powerful way, that men would just be ignited by God, you know, during this. We pray for all the logistics and all the things that go on with planning a retreat. Let's ask for the Lord's favor to come over us during that time. Lord, we thank you for the message in Smyrna, God. We thank you for a church, a group of people, God, that are withstanding, Lord, God, in the face of losing their livelihood, God, in the face, Lord, of even death and imprisonment. Lord, we thank you for examples, God, like that. And so we pray, God, that we'd be a church like that, Lord, that in the midst of persecution, and it may not be, Lord, a governmental persecution, God, but it could be something that's in the office, Lord, or in the family, God, as we desire to pursue you, Lord, and we're being withstood, God, because of our desire to follow you. Lord, it may manifest in those ways, but in any case, God, we pray, Lord, that we would be faithful unto death. God, that we know that you're watching us, Lord, and that you are approving, God, of us walking this faithfulness, Lord. And so give us the strength, God. You were dead, beaten, crucified, but now you are alive forevermore. God, we may be going through difficulty, God, Lord, but that's just temporary, Lord. Temporary, God, minor affliction cannot be compared, right, to the glory, God, that awaits us. And so give us the strength to be faithful unto death, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.